Good morning.
Good morning.
Andy, what is the temperature?
Red hot.
I'm wondering.
To check to see if actually, believe it or not, folks, he has got clothes under here. I know you've probably never seen. Miracles may happen.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit cold on here, so I don't trust taking out this. So please excuse me. Okay, good morning once again. And greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege and honor for me to speak to you again this morning. Can we open that door, Andy?
No.
Or can you check around and see if there's any object?
Object?
That will throw at me. So I'm just looking for an escape, right? That way is too far, right? I'm looking for a way to get out of it. Anyhow, God is good all the time. God is a good God. This morning, I want to bring something to you that will stimulate your mind. And we need to put on our thinking cap. It's all about us. And it's for us to do some soul searching. Dig deep. First of all, who loved the X Factor? Nobody?
That's a good start.
Can I ask it again? Is anybody in here love the X Factor? I love watching it. It's all right. At least I get to respond. Anyway, I'll still go ahead. I'll still proceed. I know. I don't really pay much attention to it, but it's a thought that come to me and I want to use it to bring out the point, right? The X Factor is brilliant to see thousands of people attending the show, to show the public and the judges how good they can perform. But do they know it is not what they think they can do? It is not up to them to decide that. It is in the hands of the judges and the public to decide their fate. So then we can see there is a call for many to attend. The judges go out on the street and they campaign, or they go out and invite a lot of people to come for audition to see what they can do and how good they are. But only a few are chosen depending on how they perform before the judges and the public. I have another question. Why are we here this morning? You don't have to answer. I hope no one forced you and I to be here. I hope nobody put a gun to our head for us to get here. I hope that is not the case. hope is our own free will and choice, because God wants us to be here. Because God have a plan and He have a purpose for us to be here. We are not here because of accident or because of some tragedy. We are here because of God's divine appointment. That's why we are here. Another question. You don't have to answer it again. What is your education background? What is your financial status, or your job status, or status, whichever one? Why am I asking you these questions? You see, God is not interested in our financial, education, or job position. What God is interested in is our heart towards Him and His calling on our life. And I want to talk about God's calling on our life. It's a broad and a wide topic. But I want to help us to dig a little deeper to see where we are with Christ. This morning we can receive this message with a good spirit, or we can receive it with an attitude. It is all about how we respond to God calling on our lives. I'd like to take this opportunity to talk to you about God calling on our life. And the scripture that I want to use is Matthew 22 and verse 1 to 14. It's a parable that Jesus used. The parable of the wedding feast. And Matthew 22 verses 1 to 14. And here it reads. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my ox and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers, and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. The wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So we can see there was a call, an invitation for people to come and to enjoy what God had in store for them. But some refused that invitation and went their way to do their own thing. And some reluctantly treated the king's servant badly. And we as Christians, we can see, as God's servants, God sent us, he called us, and he commissioned us to do something. And we will go out there to invite people to come in. But sadly, some people have no interest. Also, some people who give their life to Christ, sadly, they turn their back on God's invitation. They walk away. But there's still an invitation for them to come back and to have a part in that feast. There's still an invitation for people, for us to go out there and to invite people to come and to inherit what God has in store for them. The same with the X Factor. I can see a comparison with the X Factor as these judges go out and campaign for people to come for audition. But the difference is not what the public, we as Christians, our God don't deal with us like how the judges of this world or the public will deal with these with the people. God is merciful and God is gracious. God is not looking on our position, our status, our education background. God wants to use us. What God wants to do is that we should come just as we are, so that he can use us. It's not about what we can do or our position. No, God is not interested in our position. He's not interested in our financial status or you know, your job status, how good you are. No, he's not interested in that. What he's interested in is your commitment, your availability to him, making yourself available so he can fulfill his purpose, his plan through you. All we're asking for is your availability and your willingness to allow him to do so. The invitation is open to everybody, but sadly, not everybody will accept it. The call of salvation goes out to many, however, few are chosen to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And why is that? Because people refuse to accept that free gift, that free offer that God has given to us. Our freedom was purchased by the blood of Jesus. So we can have fellowship, we can have a relationship with God. And God make it possible for us to come and to receive that freedom, or to inherit that freedom. So, I have 3 points that I want to talk about. One is respond. 2 is attitude. And 3 is obedience. When God calls us, he wants us to do something. He wants us to respond to him. And what does it mean to respond? In simple terms, it means to react to something that has been said or done. So in other words, somebody call you, you need to react in some way. Answer or go forward. How do we respond to God calling today? I choose one character from the Bible, and I use Moses because God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Right? And that taken from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to verses 12. And it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, I am not eloquent, neither in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall speak." So we can see how Moses responded to God. What was his response? was excuse. That's his first response, was excuse. He lists his weaknesses. Lord, I can't speak fluently. I have stammering lips. What are your excuses today? What are your excuses today that hinders you from responding to God's calling on your life? God have a plan, and He have a purpose for you, and you want to fulfill that plan and His purpose through you. Again, God is looking for your availability. You're making yourself available to God so He can use you, so He can work His plan through you. He's not asking you to be an executive, have plenty of money, or being a doctor. He's not asking you about that. What He's asking you today, you and me, for us to make ourselves available and willing to be used by Him. For anyone here today who don't know Jesus, there's a call also for you for salvation. There's a call for you to respond to God for your salvation, for your freedom. Freedom from what? Your sins. God wants to set you free from your sins. What is your excuse today? What's stopping you from responding to God? It should be nothing. Because you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything to impress God. God wants to give it to you free. God's grace is free. It's something you get that you didn't deserve. You don't have to work for God's grace. It's a free grace. The free gift is there for just for you to accept it. So let us don't be a Moses today, trying to make excuses. Look at all our disabilities, because God is not interested in our disabilities here. What He's interested in is our availability, making ourselves available. The second point is attitude. It means the way a person views something or tends to behave towards it. And we have different views about things. But we want to get the real picture, the way how Jesus views things about us. And how we want us to view things about Him. Therefore, we need to have the right attitude. And I use the scripture from 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 3, when God called Samuel. What was Samuel's attitude towards God calling on his life? It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, "Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and he lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. So Samuel, as the scriptures say, he didn't know the Lord yet. But what I look at, he respond in a positive attitude to that call. He was called, and he get up, and he go. He didn't give up, but every time God called him, he answered to that call. He answered to that call. Eli's response was to encourage Samuel to listen to the voice of God. Are you prepared and ready to listen and hear from God? Are we prepared and ready to listen and to hear from God? What is our attitude towards God calling? What is our attitude? I'll come back to that. I want to move to the next point, which is obedience. Are we obedient to the Lord? I want to look at our perfect example. I want to use Jesus, who is our perfect example. And the Bible, we want it taken from, it says here, let us look at Jesus, who is our perfect example of obedience. The Bible has much to say about obedience. In fact, obedience is an essential part of Christian faith. Jesus himself was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2 and verse 8. For Christian, the act of taking up our cross and following Christ in Matthew 16:24 means obedience. The Bible says that we show our love for Jesus by obeying him in all things. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. A Christian who is not obeying Christ's commands can rightly be asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So Christ was obedient even to the point of death on that cross, making himself available. Being obedient to rescue us, to save us. Right? But are we obedient today that God can use us, that he can fulfill his plans and his purpose through us? Are we obedient? Are we making ourselves willing and available so that he can do that? Or we're being disobedient to the call of God on our life? You know, I know, what is God calling on our life? And if you don't know, we need to see God and ask God, what is his plan and his purpose for our life so that we can fulfill that call? Because we need to know that we are walking in the will of God. We need to know that we are doing, or we are being obedient to God when he calls us. Because when God saved us, he just didn't save us so that we can just be a Christian. But he saved us for a purpose. He saved us for a purpose. So he can work his plan and his purpose through us to advance the kingdom of God. So therefore, he called us, and he have a plan, and he have a purpose for us. But the question, are we making ourselves available so he can do that? Are we being obedient to his call? We have the right attitude so he can work through us. When God calls us, he gives us promises. He promised us in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where he said, "For I know the plans I have for you and for me, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So therefore we can see when God calls us, he have a plan and he have a purpose for us. He give us a hope and a future, something for us to look forward to, something we didn't have before. We had no hope. We were hopeless. We were going to somewhere where we would have spent eternity, and it's meaningless. But God give us a purpose to live for. Something that is meaningful now. What you want to do, you want to work those plans and those purpose through us. And the point is, we need to make ourselves available. I take this quote from those Bible that Christiana give out, and I love it. And it says here, "The church has been likened to a football game in which thousands of spectators in need of exercise are watching a handful of players in need of rest. Are you a spectator or a player. Before you pull out your list of reason, excusing you from active duty in your church, he dropped on an 80-year-old shepherd as he argues with a burning bush. With good reason, Moses anticipated resistance from his own people, to say nothing of Pharaoh. Besides, he had a speech impediment. Surely, Moses thought God was showing poor judgment in his choice of delivering of a deliverer for his people. Patiently, God gave his rebuttal. I can use this bush, that staff in your hand, or even your stammering lips to accomplish my plans. For all that you lack and are not, I am. God probably isn't recruiting you to lead a nation out of Egypt. What God wants from you and I is our availability, our faithfulness. God wants us to respond to him in obedience, to have the right attitude. Let us stop making excuses. What we can't do, we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough. It's not about us, it's about God and what he wants for us. He knows what is best for us. And he have the best for us. But how would he want from us is us to make ourselves available and to be faithful to his call. Respond to his call and allow him to use us to advance his kingdom. Are we willing? Are we available? Are we ready to accept that invitation? Or we're too busy doing our own thing? Or we have better things to do? We can't have anything better than surrendering our agendas, our life, to God's call, to God's purpose, and to God's plan for our life, so he can fulfill his purpose and his plans through us. Let us stop looking to our inferiorities. Stop looking to our disabilities. But let us look to Jesus, who is able to do and accomplish all things through us if we allow him to do so. I know when God calls us, there would be challenges. I ain't saying things gonna always be easy, or it would be easy. There would be challenges. There would be obstacles. there would be ignorance. But we have Jesus, who is able to see us through. The scripture says, we can do all things, not some things. We can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us, who enables us, who helps us. He will help us through. But please, let us make ourselves available. God wants to use us. There's a big wide world out there and a lot of people out there going to last eternity who don't know Jesus Christ. Going to a place, as the scriptures say, in that place, in outer darkness, is a place where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place where there is no peace. A place of separation from God. Not because God wants us or want anyone to go there, but because people choose to go there. It's a free will, a free choice. God call, we can either respond or we can either reject that call. It's a choice for each and every one of us. And we're here today, we didn't get saved just to just be a Christian and have a happy time here. We are saved for a purpose and for a reason. So God could accomplish His will and His plan through us. But just let us make ourselves available this morning. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you and myself. Let us make ourselves available. God wants to use us. Let us make ourselves available so He can use us. And He could fulfill His plans and His purpose through us. Do you know who you are in Christ? I just want to leave this on this note with a song, so that you can know who you are in Christ. Jeff, thanks for listening. God bless.
Chosen generation.